Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Lauren Strength, and I have a special guest, Angela. Dawn.
Hi.
And hi, Angela. So Angela is part of Legacy Programs. She is actually one of our mentors, and she does an amazing job. She's here to talk about addiction, the harmful effects. But we're not just going to sit here and talk about the harmful effects and the consequences of it. But we're going to talk about the celebration of recovery and how, you know, she is a prime example that there is coming back and there is redemption. And so we want to make sure that, I don't know who that's my phone. So we want to make sure that we also, you know, we talk about where we come from, our backstory, where we're at, but we also want to celebrate where we're going. And many of us that have been formerly addicted and still dealing with addictions and not just drugs and alcohol, but, you know, you have porn, you have work, you have, if you have addictive personality, which is studies have shown, you know, we have to explore this and figure this stuff out. And Angela is a great example of how it begins is never how it ends. And so we're going to explore and talk to her today. Angela, welcome.
Yeah. Hi, thank you, Sparky. My name is Angela, and, I am an addict. I'm a drug addict in recovery. My sobriety date is July 28, 2018. So I have a little bit over 3 years sober right now. I don't know. Where do you want me to start at, Sparky?
So your struggle with addiction and where you're coming from. We could go back to your story, but what I want to know is, how is recovery shaping your relationships now?
Oh, my goodness. My relationships with my children. So I have three kids. My children are 18, 14, and 2 years old. My 18-year-old and my 14-year-old, they're boys. They don't live with me. But my relationship with them today is better than it's ever been in my entire life with them, you know. They had to kind of grow up seeing me struggle with addiction. They had to grow up and see how that made me act and, just the things that the places that being in active addiction can take you to. And, it's just so cool to, like, hear them tell me today that being with me is calm and peaceful and, you know, how much they enjoy just, you know, being together. I don't know. I've been able to take my children on vacations that I've never taken them on today. This is just with 3 years sober. I'm from Oklahoma, and so I flew my three kids out to Florida for a whole week just a few months ago. My 18-year-old, it was his dream since he was like 13 or 14 years old to go skydiving for his 18th birthday. I made that happen a couple of weeks ago. One of the scariest things I've ever done in my life, but I made it happen, and it's just so different now. I was talking in a meeting the other day, and I remember when my 18-year-old was younger, and I remember, like, we'd be leaving the house, and let's keep in mind, at this time, when my boys were little, I was a school teacher. I taught elementary school, and I was in active addiction while I was teaching elementary school. And we would be leaving the house, and I'd be in a rush, and I was always late going everywhere. And we'd be walking out the door, and he'd say, "Do you got your phone? Do you got your puss? Do you got your cigarettes?" You know, and that's not even how it is today. I don't even smoke cigarettes anymore, you know. And it's like everything has a place. Everything has its home with my two-year-old. I'm never running late, you know. And it's just so different. It's so crazy. You know, the wonderful things that recovery has brought to my life just from staying sober. And to stay sober, I work a program, a 12-step program. And just what, you know, working those steps has brought to my life, you know, just for my children. And, you know, that's just for my children. you know, and that's not even talking about, you know, the friend relationships that I have today. I have real friends today who actually care about me instead of, you know, instead of the, you know, the kind of people that I hang out with before, you know, that I thought were my friends, but really weren't my friends. They didn't care about me like the people that I choose to surround myself with today. My family, you know, I've just, like I said, I used to be a teacher and I fell from that. And I've just gained the respect of my community again because of, you know, because of just by living my life. You know, I don't even have to do anything, but it's just the way that I live my life, the way that I carry myself today. So
how hard was coming back, like to be able to face, because that's one of the things that I noticed being formerly incarcerated. We didn't try to repair the relationships because of the shame and guilt and the ridicule of others and the perception that, you know, the beliefs behind we're not going to be accepted, we're going to have to do twice as much work. Like, what was going through the process of just gaining all your self-respect and the respect of others? How difficult was that? Like, what did you tell yourself in those times of, this is just bullshit, I need to, you know, did you ever have the belief like people should, I've been clean and sober, I'm doing good? Or did you just keep on pushing and say, I'm going to prove everybody wrong?
Well, you know, what had happened with me, Sparky, is, you know, I had to go to prison. I had to go to federal prison for a little while. But when I had to go to prison, I had 13 months sober, you know, that they let me be on pretrial, and I had an opportunity to make those amends already. But I'll tell you what one of the hardest things was for me, and that was, you know, with my older children. My daughter was a month and 2 days old when I had to go to prison. But with my older two children, you know, I had this time, I had this opportunity to make amends with them, to let them see me do good again, you know, all these people. And then, you know, like, I think I got sentenced in June of 2019. I had to self-surrender August of 2019. You know, I think the hardest thing was those, you know, when I had to tell them, you know, I've been doing really good, guys, but it wasn't good enough, and I still have to atone for my actions, and I still have to go to prison. I think that was one of the hardest things for me that I had to do, was tell my kid, you know, telling people, because everybody was like, you're not going to go to prison. Well, I knew I was going to prison. You know, that whole 13 months I was home, I knew I was going to prison, you know, but that didn't stop me from doing everything, you know, doing everything right. You know, I stayed sober during that 13 months that before I went to prison, and, you know, I was able to make these connections, and I was able to stay sober through prison, but it was because of the connections that I had made while I was sober, you know. But that was the hardest thing, was, you know, just to tell my family and my friends, you know, it didn't matter how good I did when I was home, that I still had to go to prison. That was really, really difficult for me. And as for, like, the community and stuff, I kind of moved away from the community, like, that I taught in and stuff. And so that really wasn't an issue for me. I think with my boys', with their dad's family and stuff, that was, you know, just coming back from that was a little bit hard. But now my relationship with them is great, too. So I guess I kind of struggled with it at first just because of the guilt and the shame, but it's just gotten so much better now that I'm, you know, that I'm living my dream.
Absolutely. And I saw a video this morning about your daughter sitting there saying you're the smartest. That was so cute.
Yes. Well, my two-year-old, and that's one thing that I do with my two-year-old. She's, you know, just now starting to talk really good, you know, and we do affirmations every day. You know, we say, I am smart, I am beautiful, I am a child of God, I am strong, I love my hair, I love my face, I love myself. You know, we just do those positive affirmations, you know, just because that's part of my recovery. And, you know, her dad isn't in her life, it's just me. I'm the only one that raises her. And so it's very, very important to me to make sure that she is raised, you know, to be a strong, independent woman someday. You know, I want her to be a strong, independent child, and I just want her to know her worth, because I didn't know my worth for so many years. And that's just very important to me, just to make sure that she knows that her worth and knows how much she is loved, and that she feels that way about herself as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. How much did that that lack of affirmation affect your addiction?
Well, I mean, I think that it affected, you know, I didn't really have a lot of trauma as a child. So, I mean, I can't really tell you what it really stemmed from. I had a pretty good childhood, you know, but I don't know, you know, and I really can't answer that question because I really don't know. I haven't, you know, really gotten to the root of that, to be honest. I know that it's been 3 years, but I really haven't gotten to the root of all of that yet. So that's something that I'm still working on. I am a work in progress.
No, that's an honest answer. I mean, how many people – I think one of my favorite answers to give people is I don't know. I think that's great. It
right?
shows honesty and just progress. You know, one of the things that we at Legacy teach is progress, not perfection, and that we all are a work in progress, and that it just takes time and life skills. You know, like, you know, I've only been out 10 months. And I'm still figuring this stuff out, and I'm almost 40 years old in February. So it's one of those things that I love when people say, I don't know. You know, I'm still trying to figure it out. I think that's a very brutally honest answer.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and there are some I don't have all the answers, you know. But the thing about – what is so awesome about, you know, working a 12-step program, going to meetings, you know, working with other women – is the fact that if I don't know the answer, I can probably find somebody that who either knows that answer or can help me dig deep and find that answer.
Yeah. Well, in fact, that was one of the things where we started interacting was, you know, you are one of the people I leaned on for to be the addiction expert, you know, and I think that's great when we reach out to other people to, you know, it doesn't always have to be about us, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, after a while, it's not about us. It's, you know, am I still on? I just had another phone call.
No, you're on. You need
Are
to take
there?
A phone call?
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't need to take the phone call at all. I just declined it. I just wanted to make sure that I was still on. And I just lost my train of thought, too. I don't remember where we were at. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's all right. We were talking about how we don't always have the answers and how reaching out to other people that do. And to make it a positive resource is a good thing.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. And you know what's so cool is, you know, it's like whenever I was in my addiction, I was, you know, the person that, you know, I was, you know, I came around and everybody scattered. But that's not how it is today. It's like today, you know, I walk in somewhere and like, okay, I'll give you for instance, like today I was at church. And a couple of girls came up to me. They're like, I know you from somewhere. What is your name? And I said, what? My name is Angela. They're like, oh, I know you from the Rock World, which is my home group meeting. And I love your story. You know, thank you so much for, you know, being so open. And, you know, it's just, you know, just by the way that I'm living my life, when I tell my story, when I share that with other people, it's just, you know, I'm not the person that people run away from anymore. I'm a person who people, you know, gravitate towards. And I love that so much.
How has helping other people been essential to your own recovery?
That's part of you can't keep what you have without giving it away. You know, where would I be right now if I wouldn't have had people that came before me, you know, that had been in similar situations, that, you know, had similar stories, you know, that had been addicted just like me, that had to go to prison whenever they were already sober, you know, where would I be? And who would I be if I couldn't give that back? I love helping other women so much. That is just one of my, passions is to just, you know, be able to tell my story and, you know, have my daughter at meetings with me and have other women come up to me and they're like, you know, seeing your daughter here, this just gives me hope. I'm trying to fight for my children right now. You know, and after hearing what you've been through, you know, and seeing that you have your daughter right here, that gives me hope for my own life, you know, and how could that not be beneficial to me, you know? How could, you know, when other women come up and tell me thank you and they know me and I might not even know them, that's just, I don't know, that just, it lifts me up and it just makes me want to keep doing what I'm doing so that I can be that person for other people.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, for many years, and you tell me if you could relate to this, I was very selfish. I had a very selfish self-will that, you know, the world revolved around me. And it came out in my relationships. It came out in my actions and my words. And now that I put myself in a public servant, because that's how I feel. Sure. I feel like I'm a public servant as an advocate, and you know what I do now, I'm for the community, and I put myself last. And the relationships I get from that, from just that belief of that I am of service, how may I help you? I think that plays it just builds a lot of character. Would you agree?
It you know what? Estimable. What did I say about estimable actions? I don't remember. I'm sitting here making, you know, estimable works and estimable actions that, you know, that this, it makes your self-esteem. It does. I can't even remember. There's a saying that goes along with that, but I can't even think of what it is right now. But absolutely, you know, whenever you can give back to the community like that, you know, it just, instead of, I guess it just has to do with instead of taking away from the community, you know? I mean, how many, I just think about all of the negativity, all of the evil, you know, that I spread just around my community just because of who I was and the choices that I made and the actions that I took, you know, and just to be able to not be that person anymore and to give back to the community. And it's, I don't know, it's just an honor and it's a blessing to be able to be that person.
Absolutely. No, and I think that's one of the things. I mean, I started being a public servant in prison. You know, when I went from, I think about like going back, how I sat in back of the room. I got invited to a group. Hi.
Yeah.
How you doing? Who's smart?
She can't hear you. I've got my earphones in.
Oh, okay.
She's just watching her little, she's watching Lady in the Tramp right now.
Oh, nice. That's a classic.
Yes.
I think that, you know, how we could all go back to how our recovery started. You know, I think it's like one of those life experiences that we never forget. And I remember mine was sitting, you know, being invited to a meeting or to a group. My first group was CGA, which is Criminal and Gang Members Anonymous. And, you know, our 12 step is very similar to, AA and NA, but, it just addresses, but I remember when I was invited and I was, okay, I sat clear in the back. I didn't say anything. I didn't raise my hand. You know, I'd sit there with a buddy. I had, you know, because we have this thing where we are given permission to speak. And my buddy did not give me permission to speak. So, but I mean, through I would go every week and then eventually I'd sit, you know, I'd raise my hand and talk and then I'd go in the middle. And then eventually I started hanging out and communicating and having a relationship with some of these people where I was invited to the front. And my friend started shifting to where I was being encouraged to raise my hand and to sit up in the front. And then eventually it was like, hey, I need you to run the group today. And I ran the group. And then eventually I became a chairman of that group. And I started, you know, running that through for the whole yard, the whole prison. And I think that was, you know, that was a part of my recovery where I got that self-worth of I was helping other people. People come to me to, hey, I need you to be my sponsor. I mean, that was one of the greatest achievements, I think, of mine was when I was asked to sponsor somebody. And the guy that asked me to sponsor him, he was in the program longer than me. But, you know, he saw my actions. He heard my words and he watched my walk. And I was one of those guys that I took it seriously because I wanted change from them. And because I needed it, I knew something was wrong. And so, you know, what's your story with the recovery? Like, how did it begin? And, you know, do you have a story like that?
Well, okay, I'm going to go back a little bit before that. And I'm going to talk about, like, there was a time, you know, okay, so my second husband, I was kind of the abuser in that relationship, And I remember... I was in jail for domestic. I was in jail. He wasn't in jail for domestic. I was in jail for domestic, which was, you know, like I remember sitting in jail during that time and I was thinking, who are you? Who are you? And where did you go? You know, I didn't know the person that I was at that time. And it's, that's the time, and this was back in probably 2015, the end of 2015, and I thought to myself, what is, you know, this is not who you are. You used to be a school teacher, look how far you've fallen. And that's kind of where, you know, the change, my thoughts started changing. And that's kind of when I started thinking that, you know, something had to change in my life. Something had to give. Something had to change. And so, I don't know, a few months later, in April of 2016, I took the first step. So I went to treatment. I was in treatment in California for 60 days, and I came home, and I just immersed myself in the program. I went back home, and I didn't really have a solid plan when I came home, but I did immerse myself in the program. I had some slip-ups. I was going to meetings and stuff, but I had some slip-ups, and then that's when I really, really, I fell off again, and then I went to jail. You know, I caught that case, and I went to jail, and when I got home, that's when I really, really, really thought to myself, you spread so much evil around the world, and it's time to change that. And, you know, that's when I didn't really start sponsoring anybody at that time because of where I was probably going to go. You know, I knew I was going to prison. But when I came home, actually, you know what, before I went to prison, I worked the 12 steps so that I could make sure and help people when I got to prison work the 12 steps, you know. And then I got home, and, you know, I get to start helping these women and just still immersing myself in the program that I love so much that helped me, that saved my life. You know, these 12-step programs, Sparky, they saved my life. You know, helping other women today, that saves my life. And I don't know, I just enjoy it so much, and I just love it so much.
No, absolutely. I love how you say it saved my life, because I kind of feel the same. I do feel the same way, you know, that I think when I put myself last, and, you know, that's one of the things that my mentor, Smokey, would always say is that, you know, a good leader is a leader that can lead from behind as well. And it never
Absolutely. Holds
more true than out here, because sometimes you have to take that back seat. You know, you have to sit there and, you know, be that person, that leader to build others up. That's what a good leader is. And so, I just love that term, that it saved my life. I can relate to that. It's definitely something that gave me purpose and self-worth, where I wasn't just a soul sucker like some of these other people and organizations are out here, where they don't build anybody up. They just build themselves up. And so it's great to hear that, you know, and I think that's one of one of my favorite things of talking to formerly incarcerated, formerly addicted, and they you all and we all just offer so much inspiration and insight, and we hear the, you know, affirmations aren't just, hey, you're pretty, you're doing good. Sometimes it's listening to somebody and hearing their story and just being able to grab hope from that. And I think that's good. That's a good inspiration right there, where, you know, and that's why I always tell people, hey, just tell your story. What do you want to talk about? I'm not Oprah. I'm not Dr. Phil, you know, but I love listening to people's stories. And yours was actually one of the first stories I did on Phil Life. And then eventually, you know, I watched your growth and what you've been able to do. And I remember I asked you, I said, so what are you doing now? You know, and you had a couple projects going on at the time, but it's funny how, you know, you were just a guest on one of my shows, and then eventually you had your own show on Legacy Programs on Facebook.
Right.
So I think it's just, I see the growth. I see how much work you put into it. I see that you're very family oriented, and it's amazing. And I think that, and that's why I wanted to talk about, you know, celebrating what we're doing now. You know, what we know where we've come from, and it's good to hear a story so people can relate. But I also want to inspire hope for, especially working with the Family Rights Organization, that you know, there's people that lose their children and they're fighting to get them back. And I've heard on numerous occasions where people are like, "I just give up, I can't do it," and it's so defeating. But I mean, your story, I'm hoping today that people are listening to your story going, you know, if she can do it, so can I. And I just want to say that you're a great inspiration to all that are able to listen to you and all that, you know, give you that whatever time they have to listen to your story, because your story is amazing. And I just applaud you for, you know, where you're at right now and especially where you're going, because it's only all the way up from here, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and I just want to say, you know, just, you know, if to anybody that's struggling with getting your children back, you know, with you know, and a lot of the struggle is, you know, finding a job, you know, finding a decent job, you know, feeling important, you know, just feeling, making yourself feel important, because sometimes if you don't feel important, that can be devastating. Like, I just a bout of depression, that can be devastating in itself. So I want to share just a little bit of, like, a little bit more of where I'm at today.
Yeah.
So when I came home from prison, I got the same job that I had. I was a front desk agent, you know, at a hotel, and I was just about to get off my ankle monitor in February, you know, and I got this wonderful job opportunity, like, the best, like, I have the best job that I've ever had in my life. I have a bachelor's degree, and I was a teacher, and I have the best job I've ever had in my entire life. I make more money. I have these people that respect me. I'm a property manager. I have I manage an apartment complex, and I manage two mini storages. And, you know, the way this job fell into my lap was just, it's just, I mean, I'm a very spiritual person, and this was a God thing, like, so big. It was just such a God thing. There was a girl from the program who had a sister that owned this company, and they were looking for this property manager. I didn't have any experience. I had time left on my ankle monitor. And listen, these people gave me a shot, and I'm not their employee anymore. I am their family. They take care of me. Like, I mean, they are the most amazing employers that I've ever had in my life. We are friends. We have children the same age, so our children have play dates. These are upstanding members of the community, and they want me. You know, they want to be my friend, and they, you know, and they love me. They don't, you know, I'm not just an employee to them. I am family, and they love me. And it's just so, you know, if you just, I remember always thinking, you know, how did these people get these good jobs and blah, blah, blah. You know, I just waited for God's timing is what I did. And when the timing was right, it happened for me. And, you know, I finally got my own place. I've been living here, just me and my daughter, for about 6 weeks now. My sons, they come up just about every weekend. They live about an hour and a half from me. But I go down there about every weekend to pick them up. This is the first weekend in like 7 weeks that I haven't had them. But I don't know. It's just, like I said, the relationships, the job opportunity, you know, that came through. It's just, you know, just because I was addicted to drugs, I was addicted to alcohol, I was addicted to men, I was addicted to relationships. You know, I went to prison, you know, behind all of this, you know, because of these choices that I made to fuel my addiction. It doesn't define who I am. It doesn't define who I'm going to be. It does not define how successful I'm going to be. And it's just an amazing feeling to be where I am today, you know, just to be able to be a good mom, because that's, you know, that's what I want to put first. You know, it's like for so many years I put, you know, my addictions over everything, even my children, and I don't have to do that today. You know, my daughter and I, we chill. We watch Disney Plus all day long on Saturdays and Sundays if we want to, you know. The boys come over, and, you know, we just, you know, we sit at the dinner table to eat, and we just enjoy our lives so much today. And, you know, my kids are proud of me. My sons are proud of me. They're proud of the mom that they have today. And, you know, I'm always afraid. Like, I asked my oldest one day, I was like, do your friends make fun of you because I had to, you know, because I was in prison? They're like, no, we don't make fun of each other because of stuff like that. We're mean to each other, but that's not something we're mean about. You know,
that kind of stuff
worries me, you know. But like I said, it's, you know, I couldn't ask for a better life today. I couldn't ask for, you know, better people that I've surrounded myself professionally, you know, personally, my family, just everybody, just everything and everybody.
Yeah. And I love how you say it just fell on your lap, because I feel the same way. Like, I've had opportunities when I go and try to force stuff and I'm like, I want this, I want that. Mm-hmm. And nothing seems to go right. But there's opportunities that I'll just get a phone call one day and they'll be like, hey, Lawrence, how about this or how about that? And would you like to work with us? And I'm like, wow, I didn't even expect that to happen. And you're right. It's like a spiritual uplifting, you know, they're like, here you go. And it's like God telling me that, you know, he's acknowledging the efforts.
You know, and I feel the same way. I feel, especially like when it comes to like the way that you and I met, you know, Lynn, I think Lynn put us together, you know, for me to be on Cell Life. And then, you know, we just grew closer after that, you know, and then whenever you thought that my story was strong enough to, you know, be a part of the legacy programs and that you wanted, you know, that you, I mean, even that kind of stuff, you know, that just really uplifts me. You thought that, you know, just because of the things that I can share, the things that I can contribute, you know, was worthy of, you know, helping people. I mean, this is, I mean, we are, you know, the people that we have contact with, we're from every corner of the United States, pretty much, you know? And I just,
yeah.
That, you know, that just uplifted me so much, you know, that I had a, you know, this string of people from everywhere that we could communicate with. And I was a part of that. And that was just really cool to me as well.
Yeah. And you still are. I mean, we have a close knit circle. And, you know, speaking of which, I do have to call Lynn. I haven't talked to her since the fire evacuation. I've been so busy.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's like today, you know, it's funny that I was just sitting there, you know, introspect is very important to be able to go, who's in my life right now? What purpose do they serve? What purpose do I serve? And today I reached out to a couple people, and you were one of them, and I was like, hey, it's been a while, just wondering, you know, but sometimes we lose focus and we get distracted out here in life, but you know, we always find our way back home. That's just how it is. It's nothing personal, you know, but.
Absolutely. And you know, one thing that I like to, one of my favorite things that I say today, you know, and just to throw this out there, you know, the quality of my problems today and the way that I react to them, you know, is such a better quality than what they used to be. You know, it's like the things that come up in my life today, you know, the quality of that is so much greater. And then, you know, the way that I react to situations is just so much better. You know, I don't have to get all, you know, I feel like after what I've been through, that it just takes a lot to get me up in a roar. I'm not very high strung anymore, you know, and it takes, like, somebody will apologize to me because, hey, you know, they had a dentist appointment and they had to cancel, you know, our engagement or whatever. And I'm like, they're like, please don't be mad. And I'm like, you know, I had to go to prison when my daughter was a month old and I had 13 months sober. I think that, you know, it takes a little bit more to get me upset than, you know, you having to deal with life.
I feel the same way. Yeah. Time. Yeah. I do the same thing. But you know, I think that, like, I really do think that, people growing up or people living their life, what ends up happening is they lose focus on themselves and they hide a lot of their struggles and stuff. But the fact remains, there a lot of us are going through the same struggles. We just have different coping mechanisms. Like mine was hardcore to the point that, you know, I'm sitting there using drugs and alcohol and women and partying and everything else to numb myself. But I do think it's important. I think everybody's story matters. And if everybody sat there and told their story, I mean, I can't tell you how many people go, well, you know, Lawrence, my story isn't as powerful as yours. But you know what? And I always tell them the same thing. I said, you know, it's just as powerful, though. You know, it's just as important and it's necessary.
And somebody needs to hear that. And somebody needs to hear that story. And this is the way that I say, you know what? Just because you don't think that your, you know, struggle was as big as my struggle, your struggle was your bottom, and that's all that matters. It doesn't matter whose was what or what was whose, anything like that. Your struggle is your struggle. Your bottom is your bottom. It doesn't matter if it seems or sounds worse than mine or hers or his or whatever. It matters, and it's important, and it needs to be heard.
No, absolutely.
So that's just kind of – you know, that's just one of the things that I'm just, you know, very, you know, they're like, oh, I just, you know, I don't know how you made it through. Well, I made it through it because I had no other choice but to make it through. I knew the person who I wanted to be. I knew what I had to do that. And so I had to take the steps in order to accomplish that.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I always figure like life is like a big ass puzzle, right? Where especially in advocacy, you know, I don't have all the pieces. I just got this puzzle and there's corners missing, there's middles missing. You know, a bunch of stuff. So I sit there and I rely on other people to just, hey, see if your piece fits, please. And because the people I can reach, you can't, and the people you can reach, I can't. And that's why, you know, when I created Legacy Programs, that was my thing, was I wanted to work with people because I got so fed up with everyone acting all top secret with this stuff. Like, you know, you're here to help people, not to hold them back. And
yeah,
that was one of the things that, you know, all right, babe, I'll see you in a minute. And that was one of the things that it was like, you know, I want to inspire people. I want to build people up. And we just happened. So one of my mentors in prison that got me through this whole process, I was talking to him the other day and he was hearing all the stuff I'm doing because apparently the guys in prison are following all the different projects and my organization, which is really cool. And he goes, you know, Lawrence, I want to do something like that. And I said, he's all, I want to come work for you. And I said, no, you can't work for me. He goes, why not? And I said, because I want to give you a piece of this. I want to make sure you build your own brand. I'll give you the platform. I'll give you a part of what I have and you go do what you got to do with it. And you should have heard his response. He was so happy. His name is Sharif, Sean Neal. And he's one of him and Smokey are two of my greatest mentors. But
awesome.
You should have heard like the excitement in his voice is all really. And I go, yeah. And because, you know, if somebody would have just done that with me when I got out, I could have affected so many more people. But I think that God put me where I needed to be, not where I wanted to be. And he's allowing me to reach those that I need to reach, you know, quality rather than quantity. But I think it's just important that we all know each other's story. And just like with the prison rights organization or family rights organization, sorry, I always tell them, I want to know your story. You know, tell your story. So me and Karina Fang are working on a project to get their stories out. So because how are we able to relate and find similarities, you know, if we keep it to ourselves? And
absolutely.
And so that's one of the things. That's one of the things. Like right now, I'm getting a prison call, and I keep telling them, like, hey, you know, I'm busy on Sunday. So, I don't know. I just see things a lot differently now, and I think that. Do you think in advocacy, like we get jaded kind of from bad experiences with interactions, whether it's an organization or an advocate group or Facebook or stuff like that? Do you ever feel that way?
I don't know. Explain that question a little bit better.
Like I get jaded where to the point that I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm in the right arena. This is rough. I don't want to do this anymore. Because I'm not living up to my expectations, my standards, and I'm like, and so when I don't meet those, I just kind of just want to quit.
You know, I don't know much, so much on the advocacy part, but on the, when it comes to, like, sponsoring other women and sometimes I do get into myself, you know, like whenever I had one of my sponsees relapse. I've had a couple of my sponsees relapse, you know, and I'm like, well, what could I have done different? And it does. It's like, should I really be a person who is doing this, who is, you know, trying to help these women through the 12 steps? Am I good enough to do that? You know, and then I have to call my sponsor and I'm like, you know what I mean? I have to call my sponsor and I'm like, I don't know if I'm doing what's right. And you know, then they tell me, you know what, I've had this many people, well, you know, and then I realize, you know, I'm doing all that I can and that's all I can do.
Yeah. And so we have a 8843 number on. Would you like to comment or ask any questions to our guest, Angela? Okay.
Hello?
Hello.
No.
Oh.
No, that was me.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, if you guys have any comments or questions, feel free to ask or say something. It's you know, it's your show just as much as mine. And yeah, no, I think that, you know, like what you said right there resonated with something. I remember when I was in prison and I would listen to these guys coming back. You know, I of course I did 20 years, and you know, during that time I saw a lot of people come back. And it was very frustrating and mm-hmm. disheartening because I kept thinking, oh, man, that could be me. If he didn't make it, why I might not myself. And so it causes like some doubt and stuff like that. And so out here, I always tell people, whether it's addiction, whether it's prison, whether it's trying to any type of where you're looking at other people for success, that we are leaders. We are beacons of hope for those people. And when we let ourselves down, we let many people down as well. And there's harmful effects to that. Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How
are
you doing?
I want to congratulate you guys. This is the first time I have listened, and I'm going to listen next week because I have a problem also, but not this. But I'm so proud of you guys for coming on here.
Well, thank you.
For letting others hear and tell your story. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much.
Go back to listening, okay? Thank you.
Okay, and you are always welcome to come on here and share your story. This is Thelma, right?
Yes, I think next week might be my time.
Okay. Well, I just want to let you know, we want to let you know that your story matters and we want to hear it. And we want to give you the opportunity to give somebody else hope and hopefully find some resources as well.
Mommy. Thank you.
No problem.
I will be on there probably next week. Thank you.
Mommy. Anytime. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye, Thelma.
So, and see, that's the type of stuff I love when people are like, oh, hey, you know, you're doing such a great job. That lets me know that I'm on the right path. And so, but,
and not only that, but she's like, you know what? I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to tell my story. I'm ready to share too. I'm getting to that point. I might not be there yet, but I'm getting there. So don't stop what you're doing is what that tells me right there.
Yeah. Well, and to tell your story, I remember when I first got out and I told my story, I couldn't tell my story worth as nothing without crying. But I remember my first time, especially on this show, Leona was the first person to give me an opportunity to tell my story. And she didn't care. She didn't ask questions. She said, I'll just tell your story. It's your hour and a half. And I remember afterwards, I sat crying at my computer and I was just thinking, wow, this is so, and I didn't feel sorry for myself. I just felt powerful. Like people are listening. I'm not silenced anymore. Like I matter and I am cared for. And I remember, and that's why I give everybody the opportunity to speak, because I know it's a healing process. It's saying that, hey, I matter, damn it. I will be heard. You can't shut me up. Nothing can, nobody can, you know? So,
isn't that empowering, Sparky?
It's great. It's
I really
feel like we're the hands and feet of Jesus. I think that
absolutely
he brings people in my life that I'm able to help. And I'm able to. It's like sometimes I remember like so I'm helping one of the families out with something, and I don't feel like I'm doing as much. You know, like I can't, I'm kind of, my hands are kind of tied. And she always tells me, so you're doing such a great job. Thank you for helping us. And I'm doing, like in my mind, I'm not doing anything. And it's just so cool to just give somebody else that that opportunity. And she tells me, she goes, you know, something tells me that there's change and you're going to be part, you're going to be a big voice in it. And I was like, wow, that's I'm humbled, I'm privileged, and I'm honored. Just little old me, you know?
I get it. Like, who would have thought that, you know, that a person like me, you know, who threw my career away, you know, for drugs and alcohol, who went to prison, who devastated my kids, you know, could, you know, be this, you know, self-confident, you know, child of God, who is a good mother, you know, a good friend, a good daughter, you know, it's just humbling to me. It's just so humbling to me, you know, what life puts you through to get you to where you are.
Yeah. And I got a question. Do you have, okay, so for the families that are fighting for their kids, the families, the parents that are struggling to get to where you're at, do you have any words of encouragement for them?
Man, just don't give up. You know, I'll tell you, I have been pretty blessed because, like, I never had CPS involved in my life. My boys, they were with their dad's family while I was in prison. That's who they're with now. And I've always had a really great relationship with them. Me and their dad was together for 10 years. I've been a part of their life for, you know, the last 20 years. And I've been pretty blessed in that aspect, you know. But do not give up. Don't give up on those babies. Those babies need you. And you need those babies. And they deserve you. And you deserve you. You deserve you. You know, you deserve to be the best person that you can be. Just, you know, just keep on fighting the good fight, you know, keep on making good choices, you know, just do everything in your power, you know, to do what's right for you. And I feel like everything falls into place after that. You know, if you put every effort and every bit of effort that you have into doing what's right, then good things will happen for you. And I know that. I know that from personal experience.
Yeah. And I think that's why it's important to hear a story. I mean, it's just that I remember when I hear people tell their stories and what they're going through, I just can't help but think, like, I'm going through the same thing, just different perspective, you know, just different aspect of the struggle. And it's great that the community that we're able to make on good foundations, you know, I'm just super grateful. So many opportunities to meet new people and to have such good people in my life. Like, you know, I look on Facebook and I see all my friends. All my friends are in advocacy. All my friends are family. You know, it's not, I don't have these fake profiles on there. I don't, you know, I don't get my stuff hacked. And it's just, it's a true blessing of all the people in my life. I feel like it's an I love you from God. That he just puts people in my
Absolutely.
Path. And he's like, hey, I love you. Here you go. And everybody, every interaction, good and bad, are gifts. That's just how I see it. Even when
Absolutely.
I'm frustrated.
And, you know, and another thing, Sparky, you know, when it comes to my older children, you know, my older children were old enough, you know, whenever I had to go through prison and, you know, all of that, you know, they're old enough to, you know, say, you know what? I make the choice for you not to be a part of my life. And that is not a choice that they make, you know. And I am just so grateful for that, you know. And it's because of, you know, it's because of who they see in me today, you know. It's because I have this, you know, I've made this peaceful and calm place for them, you know, to be, that I'm a peaceful and calm person that has all of this serenity, you know. It's because I made that, you know, because they do. They don't have to be a part of my life. But they choose.
Yeah.
They choose to be a part of my life, and it's because of these choices that I make. It's because of the steps that I've worked, and it's because that I continue to give back to people in my community.
Yeah. What's your favorite favorite step?
Oh, I'm thinking that my favorite step would probably be thought through prayer and meditation to improve my constant contact with God. Which is step 10, I believe. You caught me off guard here.
It's all right. No, I'm sorry. Look, I've been in this program for years. I still can't tell you what step is, what number it is, but I could tell you through life experience.
Right.
So,
yes,
I mean,
I believe to improve my conscious contact with God, you know, and that's just something, you know, whenever let me tell you about this one time. So, I don't know, it was at the beginning of the year, it was right before I got this job that I have now, before this job fell into my lap. Social media is very important to me, and I felt like I was on it a little bit too much. And so I took what I called a fast from social media. I took a social media fast. I deleted my Facebook app. I deleted my TikTok app. I deleted my Snapchat app, Instagram, anything that was social media, I deleted it. And instead of, you know, picking up my phone and scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or something, whenever I felt the need to do that, I prayed instead. I talked to God instead, you know, and that's what it's about. You know, it's improving my conscious contact with God, you know, and when something like, and when something is going on that I'm not doing that, I gotta take the steps that I can to fix that, because that's where my serenity lies. And in my life today, serenity is so important. Like I used to be a lunatic, Sparky. I was a lunatic, you know, and I don't ever want to live like that again. I don't want to live that way in my head. I don't want to live that way, you know, physically. I don't ever want to feel that again. And so serenity is important. And that's where, you know, that step, improving my conscious contact with God, comes into play every single day.
Yeah. I think that's very important, because it's, and it, as we always say, our understanding of God, you know, it's like, and some people don't have, and I remember that was very it was very,
and that's step 11. It's not step 10. It's step 11. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. when I was asked, like, you know, my relationship with God, and I'm a reverend, you know, I am ordained and I speak it, but I think my understanding is different than everybody else's from based off my past experience. So I think that's very important to meditate and to, you know, introspect. And speaking of introspect, my favorite step is step 4. I love the inventory of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and or the good, the bad, and the resentments, because I mean, if I feel that if I'm going to be at my full capacity to be of service, that I have to know this stuff. I have to actually know myself, you know, because most of my how I do therapy and counseling is from my own, you know, and if I can't speak what I've gone through, and if I can't tell you, break down my own stuff, how can I expect you to break down your own stuff?
Absolutely.
You know?
And you know, that's the first action step. That's the first action step right there.
Yeah. And it, let me tell you something. My step 4 sucked. Oh, it sucked. I was sitting there and my mentor told me, do your good first. And I was like, why? And I remember when I did my good list, like I had 5 things on there when I first started out. And then it was like, okay, I'm done. I was done with in like less than an hour. But let me tell you something about my bad. My bad, I had 3 pages of bad. And my resentments continued to be, match that bad. And I was just sitting there and I was thinking, this sucks. And it was a very pivotal moment in my recovery, because I had to sit there and acknowledge this stuff. I had to claim it, and to see it on paper is a lot different than in my head, because it's all facts on paper. It's not justified. It's not minimized. There's no just or buts in there. It is what it is. And so that's always my favorite step, because I'm able to, you know, I feel that as a leader out here in my community and in advocacy, that I have to be able to break my own stuff down to help others break theirs down, and to be of service and full capacity. I have to be that example. And if I have to have a little shame and guilt in there, hey, so be it. But I love the step 4. The steps are very, very valuable out here. As people sit there and say, well, I'm not a drug addict, I'm not an alcoholic, I don't need the steps. Those steps are very good, even if you are not addicted to drugs or alcohol. It's good just for
absolutely
gain those spiritual principles to sit there and actually
absolutely
convert their lives. And I think that a 12-step program is good for. There's no age limits. There's no age restrictions. There's no height requirements. I think it's valuable to everybody, and everybody should explore the 12 steps full heartedly.
You are so right. So right.
So, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, and let me tell you something about advocacy. It doesn't pay. It's very stressful. It's very time consuming. Because, you know, every advocate has their own expectations and their own standards, and I expect so much from myself. But I think what makes it easier for me is people like you, like Lynn, like Dottie Joe, like Sandy, you know, Leona. You know, there's so many people out here that are just Karina. The list goes on and on. I think that leaning and having a good support network in this is very essential.
Yeah, coming together for the greater good.
Yeah. I have great friendships. And those friendships, sometimes I think I fail because I lose contact. I don't answer my phone. I don't pick up my phone. And I'm so busy trying to pay this car note and everything else. But it's just, oh, my. You get so distracted. But I think, like, the balance you were talking about is very important to, you know, what time I take for myself, what time I take for my family, and what time I take for my community, because there are many days where I don't have anything for myself, and that self-care is so essential in,
right.
You know, taking that day.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, you're good.
Well, I was going to say, we were talking about that before, you know, we got on the air, you know. We were talking about that before we got on air about that balance and stuff, you know, and I haven't got to touch on that a little bit. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Okay, but I did want to touch on that balance a little bit. You know, like I said before, you know, I've only been living in my apartment for the last 6 weeks. And, you know, before then I was, you know, going to a lot of meetings. I was doing this. I was doing that. And then I got here and, you know, I wanted to stay at home. You know, I want to cook dinner for my daughter. I want to do this. You know, I want to, you know, and a lot of the times, you know, whether I get a meeting in or not depends on her mood and her behavior, you know. And I started feeling guilty because I didn't think that I was going to as many meetings as I should. I didn't think I was doing everything that I should. But then I realized, you know what? Here's what I'm doing now. I get to reap the rewards and the benefits of working these steps, of, you know, because, you know, the big book, it has a set of promises, and I'm living those promises today. And it's because I've worked these steps that I don't have to feel guilty for not doing what society thinks that I should do, because I get to live this life that I've created for myself, that I've worked hard to achieve. And so I don't have to have that guilt and shame. I get to balance it out today. You know, I get to stay at home with my daughter if I want to stay at home with my daughter. I get to go to a meeting if I want to go to a meeting. I get to work with another woman when I want to work with another woman, you know, and it's just a pretty cool deal that I'm, you know, that I'm able to figure out that balance.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing, is that balance is important, because if we burn ourselves out, I don't know, man.
I hear ya.
I
so
get
easy.
It.
It's
so easy to burn.
It's rough. Yeah.
But it's, I think that, I don't know, with my self-care, it's a little different, because, and tell me if this feels the same, but I'm able to, I could throw my son calls me the man of copper. And because I feel like I could throw the whole world on my shoulders and be okay with it. But when all said and done, it's a facade. It's something that's my own self pride, ego, you know, and, you know, I can't do it all. And when I try, I break my back. And then I'm just stuck there thinking, what the hell happened? And I'm feeling sorry for myself that the whole world's against me and I'm so alone. And that's why taking that – I was telling Karina Fang from Family Rights Organization, I was telling her, go treat yourself, don't cheat yourself. And I tell this – and I'm telling this to everybody out here right now, that, you know, go out, get your nails done, go out, eat, stuff your face. I don't care if you're on a diet. I don't care if you're counting calories. You're counting for one day. Stuff your face, get your nails done, go shopping, spend some money, get some retail therapy, do something to make yourself feel good. But also find the balance, you know, one day a week, I like to buy something off Amazon. That is just something I like to do. It's a $30 item. It's just something to put in my car, until now I got to do a marriage ring for my wife.
Just something from Amazon. I get Amazon packages like every other day. No,
it's addictive, but
it
I just
sure
say that
is.
To say, because sometimes we forget ourselves in the shuffle, and we don't know how to reward ourselves for our accomplishments, no matter how big or small. I think it's very important for everybody to celebrate the small victories and focus on the flowers in the garden instead of the weeds, and to appreciate what you have accomplished, and not, you know, we're never going to get to our goal. You know, we make all these goals and these lifetime dreams. Let me tell you something. These goals take forever to achieve, if ever. And it's like, you know, in the meantime, we need to start celebrating our progress. We need to start celebrating what we're doing right, not what we're doing wrong, and to focus on the good that we have in our life, because there's a lot more good than bad.
You are so right. You are absolutely correct. And, you know, there was a time in my life where I was going through that, where I was trying to carry everyone's weight, and I was failing at it, you know. And I think, and I feel like I'm, like I said, I'm to the point in my recovery, you know, where I have been able to balance that out a little bit more. And I know that I can only do what I can do. I have priorities, you know, and I'm able to stick with the priorities that I have in the order that I have them. So.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, what is that? How does that list, how do you deal with, do you have them in order? Do you just have them on a list saying I'm going to do them all? Like, how do you prioritize those things in life?
You know, I mean, of course, you know, I have my job, you know, that I have a Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30 job, you know, that, of course, that's going to be one of my priorities, you know, but man, honestly and truthfully, as long as I stay sober and, you know, somebody can look at me and say, man, she's a good mom, or man, I can tell that girl loves Jesus, you know, just by the way, you know, and those, and when I talk about my priorities, that's what I'm talking about. You know, for so many years, I wasn't a good mom, and I'm going to say a cuss word, but I'll be damned if I will ever be that person again. You know, I'm going to be a good mom above it, you know, first and foremost, you know, always. But if I keep on making these good choices, you know, in my recovery, you know, in my life, then, you know, I will be a good mom. I will be able to maintain this really awesome job that I have. I'll be able to pay my bills. I'll be able to provide for my children, you know, and it just all works out, you know, just as those choices are going on, you know. Part of that, you know, in order to do that, like I said, you know, when we first started, you know, I can't keep what I have if I don't give it away. So I have to make time for working, you know, working with others. And so I do that, you know, I make sure that, you know, I have a couple of sponsees that I make myself available for them at certain times during the week. And if they can make it, cool. If not, cool, you know. But I just make myself available at those specific times during the week. And those are pretty hard boundaries that I have because, like I said, my children come first.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, we always – so I have this curriculum where I teach it. It's called the three-tier philosophy. And it's yourself, your family, and then your community. And it's in like a pyramid. And you are at the base. And if, you know, always – If I don't have good qualities about myself, and I'm not acknowledging them and practicing them, I'm no good to my family, you know. And if I'm no good to my family, I'm no good to my community, and it kind of leaks out that way. And so what you're doing is great. I'm so proud of you. And I remember when we first started talking and you were getting involved in this, and you were like, well, I don't know. And I love the growth, and I love your story. It matters. It really does. And, you know, you're just going to do great things, Angela. You're going to do amazing things, God-given things.
Thank you, Sparky. So you know. I appreciate that so much.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you're putting in the work.
I appreciate you inviting me to be on the show. I appreciate you, you know, just, you know, letting me get my story out, letting me be heard, because, you know, like I said, and I'll say it again, you can't keep what you have without giving it away, you know. Hopefully somebody listening out there, you know, can hear my story and they can, you know, figure out, you know what, maybe I am important, you know, maybe I should figure out my worth, you know. This girl did it. I can do it too, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it starts, right? Somebody with an idea. And they're like, whoa, what?
Absolutely.
They did what? So...
Absolutely.
So I'm going to ask you this again. You know, I asked you this several months ago. I think it was about 6 months ago. What do you have going right now? What are you doing, and where do you want to go?
You know, and I've talked about it a little bit, you know, I'm just, you know, right now I'm just really focusing on my family, on my children, you know. I still do my meetings. I still, you know, work with these other women. Right now I'm just, you know, I'm really kind of taking it easy, Sparky. I'm just, you know, I feel very content with where my life is today. I'm not saying that I don't have goals or anything right now. I'm just saying that for right now, I'm taking it easy, you know, and I'm just, what I like to call, I'm living my dream, you know, I'm living my dream right now. And so I'm just kind of relishing in that right now. Hopefully I can be a voice, you know, for other women. You know, we've talked about a little bit. I do have a loved one that's in prison right now. He's got a whole lot of time. And so I focus on, you know, just, you know, keeping his spirits up right now and just being the best version of me that I can be right now.
That's right.
You know, the first time that we talked, we had, I think that, you know, I had my goals and stuff were so much different than what they are today. You know, and that wasn't even very long ago.
No, but, I think that brings up a good point. That's valuable right there, because the goals that I had before getting out, and then getting out, and then my 6 month mark, and then coming up on my second, or my first year, I think my goals and everything has shifted completely. Yeah. I think that's something that it's not a failure. I think that before, if I didn't accomplish these goals I set, like, I felt like I was failing. But today I feel like my priorities have shifted in a more positive direction, and I'm just learning how to prioritize my time, because, I mean, one thing we find out is that our time is so valuable and it's limited, right?
Absolutely. You are completely right about that. And there's nothing wrong with plans changing, you know. It's just, you know, you just – the thing about it is, for me, is, you know, you just gotta, you gotta listen to God. You gotta listen to, you know, what he, you know, because he's the end all be all. He's the one that makes the decisions, not me. You know, I'm just a vessel for him.
Well, and I you know, there's this new saying. Somebody asked me how I was doing. I usually tell people I'm blessed, but I tell the guys in prison, they're like, hey Lawrence, how you doing? I go, I'm living my best life. Because today I have these spiritual principles, and I have these blessings around me that, you know, yeah, there's times I get frustrated at my job. There's times I get frustrated with the family. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm able to sit on this couch. I'm able to go sleep in my bed. I'm able to go play video games with my boy. And these are the things that make life fruitful. These are things that make life worth living. I've never had these things growing up. So it's all new to me,
right.
And I'm like a kid in a candy store, you know. I'm looking over here going, oh, I could do this, I could do that, and I still have yet to be able to roam around in my refrigerator or my pantry freely because of these mental blocks, but I'm getting used to it, you know, and I'm living my best life today, and I see that you're living yours. I see all the stuff that you post, and I just want to say that you are such an inspiration, and I am blessed to have known you and to be part and to be in, you know, folded into your life and you into mine.
Yes, absolutely. So, I feel the same way.
Oh, we got great people. Yeah, and I do have to reach out to Lynn. Lynn Asparo is such an inspiration. That woman has done wonders. I mean, she doesn't stop going. Her and Sandy Freeze, like, these people just, oh my God, they're doing so much more than what I could do sometimes, and I'm just so proud of them.
Love them. Absolutely. Yeah. Love those ladies.
Yeah, and I just sit there and think, well, if they could do it, so can I, and I get ideas from what they're accomplishing. So, and that's the thing about legacy programs is that we worry so much about where we're going, we forget what we leave behind. And when you're stepping forward in life, you're always leaving that footprint behind you, and that somebody will follow. And so it's very mindful. We have to be more mindful of what we're leaving behind. If we're truly leaving people, places, things better than we found them, or if we're just leaving them in destruction. And so, and what you're doing today, Angela, is amazing. you know, you're living your best life. And it just goes to show that, you know, how it begins is never how it ends, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, today I get to, you know, one thing that I always say is I am living a life so much more blessed than what I deserve. You know, after everything that I've done, I just feel like I'm so blessed, and I'm just so grateful, you know, that I have the love of my children, the love of my family, and just these awesome people that I get to surround myself with. It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you're, I mean, you're going to do great things. You are doing great things, but you're going to see how this next year, how you're going to grow and blossom into this crazy ass flower going forward. And you're going to take the world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
I see it. So you just
absolutely,
keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And,
I certainly will.
So, what's your favorite thing to do with your family? What's your favorite activity?
Oh, honestly and truthfully, okay, so I absolutely love, I love cooking, and my kids love their mama's cooking, and it took me a little while after I got moved in to get a dining room table, and so I love, and I know that this sounds so corny, I love to go out and do stuff with my kids, but I love cooking dinner, I love cooking my kids' favorite dinner, and I love sitting around the dinner table and enjoying a meal together. That's just one of my, I don't know, it's just for so long, why just, I mean, I didn't eat, you know, because I was on meth, but, you know, today I get to cook and I get to watch my kids, you know, enjoy, because they love my cooking and they have their favorites. And so today I love cooking. I love for us together at the dining room table and enjoy a meal together.
What's their favorite meal?
Well, it's different for my kids. My youngest, he is very, very, very picky. But there's this one dish that I make, and it's the simplest thing in the whole world. I make it in one casserole dish. It's got chicken in the middle, potatoes on one side, and green beans on the other, and I just doctor it up and put it in the oven. It's got some ranch in it, and I can make the biggest pan of that, and we devour it every time. There's never any leftovers.
Oh, that's so cool.
They love it.
No, I get it. I bake at a bakery, and I love, we have like
a
coffee area.
I know you do. I've been seeing those posts.
I have so much fun, and you should be like, I get such satisfaction out of watching people eat my food. It's real weird. I know it sounds, but I sit there and chocolate, you know?
Yes.
But
yes, I absolutely
think
feel it.
But to cook for the family, I think it's very special. And I just want to say, you know, you are a blessing, Angela, and whatever you are doing, you know, or you're going to succeed at it. You know, just stay blessed and keep doing what you're doing. You have any contact information if anyone wants to contact, or if they need a mentor, or, you know, do you have that? Do you have time for that or anything?
Absolutely, absolutely. I make myself available. My name is Angela Dawn on Facebook. You can hit me up through there. My email address is angela.spahr, that's SPAHR 1013@gmail.com. Anytime somebody reaches out to me, I always make time for them. I will always make time for them. I will always return phone calls. So absolutely email me. You can private message me on Facebook. My name is Angela Dawn on Facebook. And again, my email address is angela.spahr. That's SPAHR 1013@gmail.com.
Nice. And I just want to say thank you for everything that you've done and that you've contributed and given back to the community. You are, hopefully people see what you're doing and they want to imitate it, you know?
Absolutely. And like I said, thank you again, Sparky, for, you know, having me come on the show. I'm grateful that you've come into my life, and I enjoy the contact, and I enjoy the friendships, you know, and I appreciate everything.
I feel the same way. I think that once we get our priorities straight and clean and sober, I think that I can't tell you how many bad relationships I have in my life right now. So it's just whoever's there is meant to be there, right?
I get it. Absolutely. Without a doubt.
So, all right, I'm going to let you go because I know you got the little one right there.
Yeah, I can't believe that she let me stay on for so long. She's been
I know. Though. I was waiting. I was like, okay. I was, and I'm counting down because we got about 15 minutes left. And then can we get some words of inspiration for those that are going through the recovery process before you bounce?
You know, reach out to somebody. You are not alone in this. I know that there's, you know, so many times that people say, you know, I don't want to go to AA. It doesn't work for me. I don't want to go to NA. It doesn't work for me. You know what? Find another group. There's so many groups out there. You know, these 12 steps are life-changing. If you will put as much effort into working these 12 steps in as you did to getting drunk, as you did to getting high, I promise you, you will reap the benefits and the rewards of a beautiful, beautiful life. You will get blessing upon blessing. The promises that are in the big book, they will come true. Reach out to somebody because there are so many people out there who want to help you. You start going to these meetings, you don't have a ride, guess what? There's somebody that's going to come pick you up for these meetings. I promise you that. Just network, and there's a way. I promise there's a way. Don't give up. Miracles happen every day. If I can do it, you can do it. Just don't give up.
Always good and true words from you. Always. I appreciate it.
Yes, Sparky.
Thank you
so much, and I love you, and thank you so much for having me on.
Love you too, Angela. You have a wonderful evening, okay? Thank you so much.
You too.
All right,
bye.
So I just want to say that, so Angela she has been essential in my networking and my support network. I think everybody has. I can't tell you, even the bad people, even the people that let me down or that abandoned me. I believe that my wife always has a saying that she says, there's a reason, a season, and a purpose, you know. And I think that some people are just stepping stones and some people are meant to be there for life. And God would weed out whoever doesn't need to be there. You know, he prunes all the time. It's plucked out of your life. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes it's just meant how it was supposed to go. And so don't beat yourself up for, you know, what did I do wrong? Sometimes we don't do anything wrong. And it's just, it happens. So, and, you know, I know it's cliche to say it's all in God's plan. And it sounds weird, but it really is. And when I say how it begins is never how it ends, let me tell you something. 20 years ago, when I first started my prison sentence, about 21 years ago, I never thought I was going to make it alive out of prison. I was in one of the most violent prisons, level 4, 180, and in California. And every day I woke up, I packed my stuff, I rolled up my mattress, and I never thought I would make it out alive. Every day I went to yard, I thought something was going to pop off and that was going to be it. Through the years, you know, I sat there and had a 5-year plan. Said, okay, if I make it 5 years, I'm good. And then another 5 years went and another 5 years. And then, but if you would have told me what I'm doing now, 20 years ago, I would have laughed in your face. If you would even mention that I'd be a pastor or a reverend, I would have laughed at you. In fact, I did. There was 3 women that prophesied that I'd be a minister or a reverend one day. And I told them, I said, not me. Anybody can't do it. And then one after another, you know, I think it was like a 2-week process. And finally, it was the pastor that came to visit the prison, and he picked me out and said, "Hey, you're gonna be a pastor one day." And I sat there and I was like, "Wow, this is 4 people." And so, when I say how it begins is never how it ends, is because I grew up in a childhood, child molestation. I grew up in gangs. I grew up in organized crime, like all this different stuff. And now I'm an advocate. Now I'm a father. I'm a husband. I am a full-time worker. I am a car owner. I am a CEO, a pastor. I am, like, the list goes on and on. And so that's why I say, when I tell you how it begins is never how it ends, is because it's absolutely true. We just have to have patience and kindness to ourselves and to sit there and get to that point. So whatever you're going through today, whether it's you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, you can't get your hair right, you stubbed your toe, you know, walking to the kitchen or the bathroom, I just want to let you know that you are important. You are loved. You are special. You are God's favorite. And you are the apple of his eye. And that when we go through our struggles, that these struggles aren't meant to break us down. They're meant to build us up. Some of the strongest metals are forged under the hottest fires, as I always say. And that, you know, I never forget where I come from, ever. I think this stuff is essential of who I'm not only am, but who I'm becoming. And I think that, you know, when God gives me somebody in my life, I make lemonade and I enjoy it while I have it. And if I lose it, I lose it. If I keep it, I keep it. But I'm just trying to live my best life and trying to be an inspiration to others. And I hope that anyone listening today that we touched on something and you sat there and said, looking for, differences, you found some similarities. And when we sit there and find similarities in other people, I think that that's where we grow and we go, we don't feel so alone. We don't feel so victimized by the world. And I was telling one of the guys in prison, I said, pay attention to what you got good in your life, because there's so many distractions that the devil's putting in our path to tell us that we're not worthy. We're not worth it. We can't do it. And they're absolutely wrong. They're absolutely wrong. And so, and I'm a very spiritual person. I am a reverend, but I'm also more spiritual. I'm not very denominational and I don't play all that, but I believe in that connection with him and that conversation, that relationship. And I think that's essential in where we're going. And so today, I just ask you to sit down, take some time for yourself. Think about your life. Pray for what you need. Think about what you want. And just sit there and think about what you're doing to achieve this. And I know there's families out there without their children, and my heart goes out to you. But don't give up, as Angela said. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. That it's not the end. Never give up. Those kids depend on you. I was in 25 foster homes, over 30 group homes before the age of 15. And, you know, my life is... sometimes I just need to know that somebody was there that loved me, because I couldn't love myself. And there's many foster kids right now, many kids in group homes that are going through that same thing. And so, you know, I don't know. I just sit there and sometimes I get lost. I get lost in thought and my process, but, I just want you to, when this is coming across, I just want you to hear, I love you, and that you are worthy. You are special, and that God has plans for you. So don't lose faith. Never lose faith, because once we lose that faith, we lose a part of our soul and a part of our humanity that we can't get about that hole. But I'm going to tell you, there's people that will jump in that hole with you, and they will tell you, hey, I know the way out. Let's go. And I have everyone in my circle is like that. You know, when I'm in a hole, people dig me out. When I'm sitting there frustrated with myself and I have all these high expectations and this low self-worth and this low self-esteem, I got people around me that build me up, you know, and I'm not special. I'm not aside from any rule, you know, I go through the same thing you're going through. Sometimes I just smile and wave, and I put on a smile and I help other people, and that's how I numb myself. So I no longer use drugs or alcohol, but it is what it is, and helping people helps me. So just treat yourself, don't cheat yourself, and, you know, be the hands and feet of Jesus today. You know, go do something nice. I think last week I did what I did was I gave somebody a $4 tip, and then I bought somebody a lunch, or I bought somebody's groceries the week before that. So I try to do something every week to make it feel like I'm doing something, you know. And then I think this week I filled up my wife's gas tank without her asking me. So I try to leave people places, things better than I found them, and with gas apparently. But I just want to tell you that whatever you're going through, don't give up. How it begins is never how it ends. I'm the prime example of that. And I love you. And there's going to be a brighter day. We just have to weather this storm. It's like it's if my boss gave me this cliche story, and I heard it and I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? It was about a tide. You know, the tide comes, the big ass wave comes in and it crashes and it sucks everything back. And some days the tides are going to be bigger than others. Someday they're going to be 20-foot waves. Someday they're going to be 4-foot waves. Some days there's not going to be any waves at all. It's going to be dead silent. And so that's kind of like our life. You know, so just appreciate the dead silence. And we can't have the good without the bad. We can't have the pain without the joy. It's those two that we find balance that really makes us appreciate what we have. And it really makes us appreciate and protect what we gain. I think my family and my friends and my character is what I protect most, because I know how it can be without it. So I just say that to say, if anyone wants to visit Legacy Programs, you could find us on legacyprograms.net. We have a mentor program. We also have numbers that you can call for resources. If we're still looking for lawyers to look into the misconduct of inmates. Me and Karina are working on a project to create an oversight for the foster homes and group homes to give them mentors as well through the Legacy Program, formerly foster children, to help guide the current ones now, to give them a voice, to give them the guidance necessary. Also, we're going to start a big brother, big sister program for the foster for the families, the parents that have lost their children, and so that way they know the process, the steps, and how to actually go about things, and they have the support network necessary to move forward to overcome their struggles. We are fighting an uphill battle right now, so we need all the help we can get, all hands on deck. And I just want to say that we have an amazing team, and we're going to do great things. And I just want to thank Thelma for hanging on there. I see that she's still listening. Thank you, Angela Dawn, for your inspiring story and for your success and sharing that with us. And I am just truly amazed of you know, where you are and where you're going. I'm in awe of your success. So a huge shout out to her and all the Bryan sisters. I mean, they're all doing wonders out here. Legacyprograms.net. If you want to go on there, we offer the mentors, we offer curriculum to the ones incarcerated. Currently, we haven't really been doing anything because of the fire evacuation, but I'm getting everything back on track. I just want to say, y'all have a wonderful and blessed day. And don't give up, just keep doing what you're doing. And we will, be back on next Sunday at the same time, 12:30 Pacific time. And with other guests, and we shall have Thelma on next week to tell her story. And then, you know, the beautiful thing about telling people stories is that there's a triumph afterwards. And I love those success stories afterwards of, you know, they're so inspiring to know that how bad it could be and how good it could get. So don't lose hope. Love y'all. God bless you. And, if you want to check out, New Vision Organization out in Massachusetts, please, you know, we depend on all your donations. We depend on all your guys' support, whether it's time, money, or just effort. So we appreciate y'all. And for all the advocates doing what you're supposed to, thank you so much. And for the advocates that aren't and you're just wasting time and resources, hopefully today's a new day. Love y'all. I'm out. Bye.